Chapter 28. Marching all night was a harrowing experience for the younger creatures. Saro and Bragoon, being used to such hardships, plodded doggedly on in silence. Fenna stumbled alongside them, her eyes constantly drooping shut. The Squiddle Maid sorely regretted ever leaving Redwall and all its comforts. She did not know which she yearned for most, sleep, food, or water. Springald was of a like mind, trudging onward in a straight line with her four companions, keeping quiet and trying not to inhale too much dust. It was a cruel and forbidding outlook, the wasteland stretching all around, flat, silent and gloomy in the night-time darkness. After what seemed like an eternity, daylight showed on the eastern horizon, a pale, misty mixture of dove grey and orange. Bragoon watched the faint apricot edge of morning sun slowly rising. He spoke softly.
Oh, it's a pretty sight, ain't it, mates?
Horty hardly gave it a second glance.
Pretty, say? Pretty blooming awful, if you ask me what. I'd swap the blinking lot for a drop of water. Can't we stop now? You said march by night and sleep during the day. Well, there's the jolly old day, and I'm poor sore and weary. So let's lay the old heads down, eh, chaps?
Sorrow pushed him onward.
Not just yet. We've got to keep going while 'tis cool. When the day gets hot, that's the time for sleep. The more ground we cover, the sooner we'll be out of this wasteland. Keep marching. Don't stop now.
None of the travellers wanted to, but they carried on, knowing that it was the only sensible thing to do. By mid-morning, the sun was beating down remorselessly as small dust spirals danced on the hot breeze. There was still no sight of trees or streams amid the dun-hued wastes. Bragoon finally halted.
We'll rest here until late afternoon.
Sorrow began setting up a lean-to with cloaks and staves, weighting the cloak edges down with pieces of rock. Horty raised a dust cloud as he slumped down.
If I could only lay paws on the rotters who swiped our grub and water, by the left I'd kick their confounded tails into the middle of next season, what?
Bragoon rested on his stomach in the small patch of shade.
Don't think about it, mate. You're only making things worse.
Springald looked back at the ground they had covered.
Funny how the land seems to wobble and shimmer out there.
Fenna curled up and closed her eyes.
That's just the heat on the horizon. It's a mirage, really.
Sorrow shielded her eyes, peering keenly at the spectacle. She nudged the otter, directing his attention to it.
Don't look like no mirage to me. What do you think, Bragg?
Bragoon squinted his eyes and watched intently. His paw strayed to the sword which lay by his side.
It might just be the heat waves, but it seems to be moving closer toward us. Then again it could be the earth dancing. Remember the ground shaking like that the last time we was in this territory, Sorrow?
The Squiddle never let her gaze waver from the shimmering.
Aye, it made a rumbling sound too.
Horty laughed wildly.
Chaps, we're in the middle of belly nowhere, being baked alive. Not a flaming drop to drink or eat. Now what? The ground has to start blooming well dancing. Am I going off me flipping rocker, or is it those two rambling duffers, what?
Bragoon and Sorrow exchanged glances, then went back to the watching. Horty, however, would not be ignored. Gesturing with his paws, he flopped his ears dramatically.
They're telling me the ground's doing a jig, and here am I, without a pasty to shovel down me face, or a bucket of cordial to wet me parched lips. Oh, lack-a-day, and woe is the handsome young hare, languishing out here and losing me mind, and going mad, mad, I tell you, stark bonkers and raving nuts. 'Tis the dreaded Thirstation.
Springald shook her head.
Thirstation? Shouldn't that be thirstiness or just thirst?
Bragoon whispered to Sorrow.
That couldn't be the earth dancing, or we'd have felt the rumbles.
Horty continued at his tirade.
Rumbles? Rumbles? How could benighted buffoons such as you know about the rumblings of a sad, tragic hare whose life is being cut short by the contagious thirstations and tummy rumbles?
The otter's tail caught him a firm thwack across the rear.
Shut up, young'un, get to sleep and quit your shouting.
Horty subsided meekly, but still muttered to have the last word.
Beaten by the bullying dragoon into shallow slumber. Good night there, comrades, or is it good day, what?
Within a short time, the three young ones were asleep. Sarabando was dozing too, but Bragoon lay on his stomach, chin resting on both paws. Through slitted eyelids, he scanned the wastelands to the rear of the lean-to. They drew closer. Now he could distinguish them, not as heat shimmers, but as small patchy bumps, moving silently, betrayed only by odd puffs of dust. They edged nearer, then they halted. One bump detached itself from the pack and advanced